I'd like to thank everybody for the opportunity to share some thoughts with you on a crisp Thursday morning. Pasuk tells us in this week's Sedra, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Gimel 23, Vayehi Vayomim Harobim Haheim Vayomos Melech Mitzrayim. And it was in these unusual use of the word Hayomim Rabim, lots of days, many days. Chazal draw attention to the use of this concept, the use of this language, that the king died during this many day period after a long period of time, and after that event took place, the Jewish people started moaning, they started groaning. It's interesting, we see by Yaakov, when he was waiting for his beloved wife, then it was Kayom Machodim, just a few days. And here, when the Klal Yisrael in Soros, when Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, then Loshem, which is used, is Rabbin, many, many days. And I saw one of the Forshim explain, because when you're in Soros, when times are very difficult, when there's a lot of pain and anguish, the days just seem to drag and drag and drag and drag and drag. But what's fascinating to us is, there's a use of a word here to describe the response of Klal Yisrael to the death of Melech Mitzrayim, because one would have hoped with the death of a king there will be some sort of respite. One would have hoped that with the death of the king there will be some sort of amnesty. The Chazal tell us it wasn't like that. The death of the king, things just got harder and more painful. And we come across the word Vayeonchu b'nei Yisrael min avoda, and the Jewish people started moaning, the Jewish people started groaning, the Jewish people started sighing from their avoda. Again, one would have hoped that this would be a sigh of relief, but it wasn't to be that at all. It was as a sigh that the people realized it was going to get harder and harder. Interesting enough, I saw in the Orach Chaim Kodesh, he points out that there's different sorts of sighs, and there's different sorts of moans, and there's different sorts of tefillahs. And he translates this word of Anocha to describe a person who's mamish in tremendous pain, and they just cry out for Kodesh Baruch Hu. They cry out in pain. I thought it would be very interesting if one looks to one's daily tefillahs, one finds a word in our daily tefillahs which is actually exactly the same word about groaning and moaning. And in the tefillah which we share three times a day, Hashiva Shavteinu K'vah Rishona, Kodesh Baruch Hu, we want to have the judges as they were originally. The Yotzeinu K'vah Tchila, we need Eitzah. And then, unusually, V'chotem Imenu, and remove from us, Yoga Vanocha, all the sorrows and all the pain and all the anguish and all the cries. Umrocha Leina Ata Levad Hashem Levad Chon. Only you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should reign over us. What is this concept of moaning and groaning and sighing found in the middle of our tefillah specifically to do with the bracha of Hashiva Shavteinu? We want to get our judges back. We don't want to be under anybody else's auspices. We don't want to be anybody, any exile, any goddess. And I've prepared for you a little sheet, and for those who are listening on the phone, I'll try and make an explanation which is relevant to those who don't have the sheet in front of them. There's a beautiful idea which is brought by the Abu Dram. The Abu Dram says, have a look at our tefillah, our daily Shemon Esrei, and you'll see that not only is it divided into sections, the beginning, which is the praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the end, which is the gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in our daily tefillahs, the middle section, which is our bakoshas, is divided into two halves. The first six of the middle bakoshas, he describes, this is based on an idea from the Rival, he describes our personal requests. Now, of course, whenever we're making personal requests, we're making them for Klal Yisrael as well. All of our tefillahs are well known, are in the public. So when I say, Atochon Elod and Das, I recognize you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have wisdom, and that you are able to ensure that this wisdom, Bina Chochmah, which you've given to me, I'm asking you that that should be used by myself and by all of human beings around me. But he points out there's a dramatic difference between those brachot of das, of tshuva, of slicha, which are individual requests for tefillah for all of the many, many individuals in Klal Yisrael, as opposed to the last, or the next group of six, which he describes a communal request. And you see there's a dramatic change. We move suddenly from talking about Panosa to Kibbutz Goliath. Klal Yisrael should come back together to the four corners of the world and be reunited in Eretz Yisrael. The bracha which we spoke about, the bracha of all of the Dayanim, or we should have a proper Sanhedrin, we should have, as we're going to see soon, the Nevi'im, they should be returned once again. We talk about B'nai Yerushalayim, Binyan Yerushalayim. This is not a personal tefillah that everybody should get better. This is not a personal tefillah that everybody should have parnosa. This is for the entire mankind's whole world. And he has a long description comparing and contrasting exactly how these two paths mirror. And then the 13th in this group, which corresponds to the 16th of our tefillah in Shemona Esrei, is of course Shema Kolena, which he explains as a general prayer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should listen to all of our tefillahs. The question which I'd like to look at today in terms of our groaning, as we saw in this week's Sedra, and the Rachaim explaining this is a cry in absolute pain, the question is, what is the connection between number 5 and number 11? Because the Rivar explains that you can draw a straight line between each one of these requests. There's a connection between 4 and 10, which is the Brach of Das and the Brach of Kibbutz Goliath. One of the explanations is that we're asking now that I should have the wisdom to understand, I should have the chokhmah to be able to appreciate things, bina to truly delve deeper and build a binyan from the ideas which are being given. But what's Kibbutz Goliath? Because there's going to come a time where the entire world is going to be full of knowledge. Everybody's going to have easy access to information, easy access to knowledge. There'll come a time you'll be able to give a share in Golden Screen and people have it all over the world. But we're talking here, Yitz Hashem, as Man Mashiach, Muheir of Yomeinu, Das will have a completely different worldwide dimension at the time of Kibbutz Goliath. So the question is, what is the idea of the connection between a person's ability to do tshuva and the bracha which talks about Hashiva Shevteinu, that we davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we should once again have our judges restored? What has that got to do with the fact that I've done an Aveira, and I turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I recognize and I realize that it's time for me to chew tshuva? Just interestingly enough, the Rivar also points out that he suggests that the brachas of the personal quest are actually in order of importance. It's very interesting. He says the Shemona Esrei goes in order of importance, and Das, which is if a person's got the brocha and the opportunity to have a good mind, to be able to think, to be able to learn, to be able to understand, that's the greatest brocha of all. And he points out that Parnosa is a little bit further down the line, interestingly enough, in terms of, and the ability for a person to do tshuva and the person to have geula, personal salvation, he says comes before Parnosa, but that will be another discussion for another time. It's an interesting insight. But what is the connection between my ability to do tshuva, my davening that you should be to do tshuva, and the connection that Emir Hashem, one day there will be the Sanhedrin back again, there will be the Nevi'im back again, etc., etc.? So let's try and understand what this bracha is that we say every day. And there are many, many questions on this bracha. It's extraordinary enough, when you learn tefillah, the Ian, mamish, you know, Ian b'tefillah, you mamish learn tefillah, you suddenly start thinking of things you never thought of beforehand. So for example, it says Hashiva Shevteinu Kavarishana. We say that Kodesh Baruch Hu, we want to have the judges as they were Barishana, and then we say the Yodseinu Kavar Tchila, we want to have those people who give us Eitzah Tchila in the beginning. What's the difference between Kavarishana and Tchila? Why does it talk about the Shevtim is a Loshen of Rishana, and when it talks about the Eitzah, that's a Loshen of Tchila? So I'll share with you one very unusual answer that I heard, but it's relevant, as you'll hear, to the question we asked at the very beginning. One unusual answer I heard is that, you know, when a child's in the mother's womb, Shema Bedi Musa Vecho, Ba'al Titoish Torah Simecho, don't pull yourself away from the Torah Simecho, the Torah that you learnt in your mother's womb. That's a very, very special Torah. The Malach is there teaching you, and of course there's no Yetzirah. There's pure, absolute Torah, absolute clarity being taught to you by the Malach, and there's no other negative influence. There's nothing at all which can affect your understanding, your knowledge, your perception. There's no tithe, there's nothing, there's no guile, there's no kinnah, there's no kovah, there's no desire to do anything wrong. Just pure spiritual investment by the Malach of teaching you Kol HaTorah Kol. A person comes out of the womb there into the big wide world, and all of a sudden they meet this Yetzirah. And when the Yetzirah starts meeting them, then we know the daily battles that each one of us has to face. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us fantastic gifts. That during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, during the time when Klal Yisrael were in Eretz Yisrael, when Moshe Rabbeinu took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Vim, gave us people to give us Eitzah, gave us people to give us Hadrocha. We were able to go to the Sanhedrin to get absolute clarity. That even after a person's out of the womb, into this big wide world, with all the pulls and all the difficulties that we face, and all the dilemmas that I have to deal with, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a matana, which is people to give us Eitzah. So one of the Mefoshim explainers, there's only one pshat, Hashiva Shatene Kavoshna, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able to get back into that perfect, clear situation, where the spiritual judgment and the spiritual directive is in a situation where it's absolutely pure and there's no negativity. And if I do end up in a world where unfortunately I get pulled in difficult directions, we should have those people who can give us Eitzah and give us the clarity which is necessary. And the Fortune explained, Kerishayna was at the point of first starting, I in the womb, Katechila is the beginning of the Jewish people. Let's understand what it means that we would have at a time in Jewish history that clarity of direction, time of the Sanhedrin, or the Nevi'im, or the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash. The Vilna Gaon points out an extraordinary thing. And he explains to us that just like everybody looks different, each one of us have a different tafkid. Of course, it's a well-known Mishnah in Sanhedrin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a being called a human being, and each one of us different. When you have when you have a decision to make a coin, then every time that the printer prints the coin, the manufacturer makes the coin, even though you've got the basic ingredients the same, amazingly all the coins look exactly the same. The human beings were all dramatically different. Look around the rooms, all this extraordinary collection of neshamas sitting here in front of me, and basically all we are neshamas with a tafkid which is dressed in the different clothes and the different looks and the different personalities that we have. Of course, the Vilna Gaon explains that part of the reason why human beings are not physically identical is because we have different spiritual missions in this world. The question is, how do we know exactly what our spiritual mission is? How do we get that absolute clarity of why it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created me? Well, what's my job? So the Mefoshim explained there was a time where a person could go to see the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, to see the Navi, and the Kohen, when a person's done an Aveira, for example, and they feel bad and they're upset about what they've done, the Kohen will give them a spiritual psychoanalysis and help them understand exactly who they are and what they are, where they've gone wrong. And the Navi would be able to look at them in the eye and see the personality, and as a result of that be able to give them the clear directives, not only a case of bringing the necessary korban to do, of course, the kapor, which is an absolute essential, but a person could do teshuva as a result of the clarity that they know exactly where they've got wrong and have an opportunity to know which areas in their life that they need to correct. And that total and absolute clarity was available to Klal Yisrael. In fact, I had once a beautiful pshat at the end of our davening. We say, Sheyavone Beis HaMikdash Meheir V'Yomeinu V'Sein Chalkeinu V'Sar HaSechot. At the end of davening we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please rebuild the Beis HaMikdash as soon as possible and give me my chelik in Torah. What's the connection? But if you understand this, it's clear, because when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, there'll be absolute clarity exactly what my chelik in Torah is, because there'll be people available to ask and there'll be people to give me those sorts of directions which is necessary. And therefore this bracha of Hashiva Shartenu, on one explanation is it's parallel tshuva, because there'll come a time where I'll be able to do tshuva with absolute clarity that I know the areas that I've done, I know the areas of my life that I have to fix up, and I'll be given clear directives in which places that I have to do it. And I saw, once had an idea, that's why during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, this bracha has changed. Instead of saying, Melech Oyev Sokho Mishpot, we say, I'm Melech HaMishpot. This, during this period of the time, I remind myself that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to be the king of true justice and true law, and only he is able to really look after me and care for me, and I'm only through him able to do proper tshuva. And what were the vehicles that he used to give me that clarity in the directions in the past? It was the Shoftenu, it was the Yotzeinu. It's interesting, because you follow the same idea you see in Parshas Pinchas, when Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to find somebody to lead Klal Yisrael, in Perek Chof Ches, Zayin Yud Zayin, the pasuk says, "Yivkad Hashem lekei avruchos l'chol basa ish al ha'eda." HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lekei avruchos l'chol basa, you should find a person who's suitable to lead Klal Yisrael. Asheyete lifneim, etc., etc. And Rashi explains here on this idea that the idea is as follows. You are Kodesh Baruch Hu. You understand the individual personalities, the unique qualities of everybody. The Einon Dom and Zel are there, and they're not comparable one person to the other. Therefore, you are Kodesh Baruch Hu. Should find a manhig so that when he leads Klal Yisrael, he's able to understand and see clearly the necessities of every single individual. So, one of the explanations that we therefore are able to give today, to explain the connection between Teshuvah and the bracha of Hashiva Shoftenu, is the ability to appreciate that only true Teshuvah can be done when we have the clarity that was once available. Now the interesting thing is, what does this have to do with Yogam Vanochem? What's this got to do? Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to have the judges back as they once were, we want to have the Eitzah, and remove from us all this trouble and this sorrow and this suffering. So one explanation is that the simple pshat is, nowadays when we're in the legal system, unfortunately the land and country that we find ourselves, which is a very benevolent land, but unfortunately the reality is that we're very much up to the whims and the fancies of the local judge. And there's nothing more painful to know that you're right and you're correct, but the system of judgment in which you're in, unfortunately, doesn't give you the honest response which is according to our Torah law correct. When we have the judges back again and the answers back, when we have a Sanhedrin, there'll be Yogan and Nocha, because there's no greater pain and sigh than knowing that you're right, but you've been accused unfairly. There'll time come a time when Sanhedrin and everything is straightforward and clear. But there's another idea as well, which is that in the depths of my heart, I call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, pain and sighing, because I want to have on my daily basis the clarity of what I need to do in my personal life to correct myself, what I need to do in my personal life to ensure that I can do tshuva. And that inner yogam v'anocha, that inner pain which is calling out, is something which I'm desperate to be removed. Umoroch aleinu atah Hashem levadacho. I only want you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to reign over me. And I want that clarity and direction. And right now, I'm in terrible pain in the depths of my heart because I don't have it. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us extraordinary gifts, that in every generation he gives us Chachomim, he gives us people who have the ability to give us Eitzah. Not in the same Madrega as the Novi, although there's interesting that Chochem Odif Minovi, that will be another shir for another time. But nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises in each generation there will be people to lead us. I once heard in the name of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz that the problem in our generation is not that there are no Gedolim, and not that there are no Rebbes compared to previous generation. The problem in our generation is there are no Talmidim and there are no Chassidim. That's what he once said. The people nowadays perhaps aren't willing to stand in front of a person who look at them and mumlish tell them, this is where you're going wrong, this is what you're doing wrong, and I've seen you and I've watched you, and you've really got to correct yourself. Anybody who's trying to run a musavad according to the traditional methods of a group of people sitting together, and they'll be actually told, this is where we're going wrong, these are the mistakes you're going, you're Balgaiva, you're Balgaiva, this is what. A lot of people in our generation are a bit nervous to face that reality. And therefore, he said with Chaim Shmulevitz that perhaps our generation's problem is that we don't want to be Talmidim, and we don't want to be true Hasidim in that respect. I'll give you a few examples of what it means to be a Talmud or a Chosid and see whether how we would cope. The Meister of Rav Olbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that a Talmud once came up to him and said, Rebbe, I'm working on my character development and I want to become a better person. Perhaps the Rebbe can learn with me an hour a week. The story is told, I don't know how well this would go down in our modern day school system, because we need a lot of love and care and concern. But nevertheless, the story is told that Rehoboam, when hearing from this person the desire to spend an hour a week because he wants to correct himself, Rehoboam is supposed to say to him, that's not why you want to spend an hour a week with me. The reason you want to spend an hour a week with me is so you can tell your friends you spend an hour a week learning with Rehoboam. 6 months later they met, and Rehoboam says, I haven't seen you every week. What happened? I think what happened was Rehoboam must have got right into the person. The question is, do we have the guts to listen to that direction? Another miser was that there was a particular Talmud who looked completely washed out, and he needed to go for a walk. So Rehoboam said to him, looking at him, he looked at me, he said, you should go for a long walk, take yourself a long, long walk, go for a walk, and we'll come back, we'll talk. 10 minutes later, the guy's back in front of the Rosh Hashiva, in front of the Mashkiach. Rehoboam said, you know, surprised, hey, I'm back. Rehoboam said, I know exactly what happened. You went for a walk, and after 10 minutes, you met somebody you didn't like. So he came back. I looked at him and said, what do you mean? I don't. He said, yeah, you went for a walk, you met somebody you didn't like, and after 10 minutes he came back. He said, no, I didn't meet anybody, Rashid, I don't know what you mean. Rehoboam says, I'll tell you what I mean. You went for a walk by yourself, and you met yourself, you met somebody you didn't like, so rather than face yourself, you came back. Now, a person who really wants to do tshuva, who really wants to get to the depths of who we are and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from us, my word, has to unfortunately confront some of those realities. And we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should have that shefet, those people who could give us eitzah, so I will no longer have the yovan vanocha. I'll no longer have that inner pain and that inner sign. I'll have the absolute clarity. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if that's what you want, then you have to go to the person with the reality that there may be certain changes that you have to make in your life in order to make the true tshuva which is necessary for each of us. It's very interesting because a lot of the things that we ask for, Emir Tashem, to cover show for God, we're saying that we want kibbutz golias. Of course, it's not quite now because I've got an appointment which I've got to organize next week and I've got a holiday in a fortnight. Or Hashiva Shoteni Kareshna, I want to have judges. The question is, do we really want people who are going to look at us and be able to analyze us and give us the absolute clarity of the tshuva which is necessary for us to fulfill our purpose in this world? Do we really want Shibana based on English for saying Chokain Bestowa Therefore? And of course we want a fairer legal system. And of course we get very upset when we see those people who are correct being unfairly judged. Of course we want that system. But there's a dimension as well. There's an Eitzah. There's a Shefet which is upon us, each one of us as well. And interesting enough, the Kotzka, in the frightening words of perhaps the Kotzka often uses, he's talking about Shefet v'Shechin Titein D'Chol B'Chol Shorecha. And there he says, you know, every Yiddish shtot, every place has got to have its own legal system, and it's got to have it properly placed, and you have to have your Shefet, you have to have your judge, and you have to have a police system in order to ensure that the judgments are carried out correctly. Kotzka used to say, that's in terms of the external city. But what about the shefet that you have to have upon yourself? And what about the shetrin that you have to upon upon yourself? What about this daily self-judgment that a person has to say? And what about the shetrin to ensure that whatever conclusion that I make in my life, I'm able to incorporate it into my daily life, and I make sure that I have policemen overlooking me internally, as if to say, to ensure that we succeed in the areas that we're supposed to succeed in. And then, of course, the Chofetz Chaim speaks about a similar idea. It says, "V'sedek tishpot amisecho," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, you know, when it comes to rules and regulation, then "V'sedek tishpot amisecho," and everybody would agree that if they're in court and chalida v'chas, and there's a situation, they want to make it absolutely clear: there's no bribery, there's no falsehood, there's no negias. The judge who's judging them is doing it with absolute clarity. And that, and of course we know the Chazal, which tell us about the honesty and necessity of judging. It says the Chofetz Chaim, when it comes to judging our fellow man, are we judging our fellow man with righteousness? But Tzedek Tishpot Amisecho, we want our Kodesh Baruch Hu to set up a legal system where the proper righteous judgment is being given within Klal Yisrael, but as a preface to that, as a preparation for that, when we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring back the judges, question is, how are we judging right now that we've been given the opportunity on a day-to-day basis to judge our fellow man. Are we judging our fellow man with righteousness? The Maral Diskin, I'm afraid to say, friends, you know, Baruch Hashem, it's wonderful to pay the shirim because it's a fantastic opportunity to work on oneself and imbibe a little bit of Musa. The Maral Diskin says an extraordinary thing. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to you, to each one of us, says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I won't judge you. I'll let you judge yourself, says the Maral Diskin. What will happen is, I'm going to allow you to see a situation where a person will perform an avera similar to you. So I'll give you four examples. There'll be somebody talking a show. There'll be somebody who's a little inconsiderate. There'll be somebody who tells a slight untruth. There'll be somebody who's late for chavrusa or schmoozes during the chavrusa. And you're going to be see another person doing the averas that you yourself do, says the Maral Diskin, and I want to see how you judge those people. He's such a ridiculous person, he's so inconsiderate, how can he do that? And he's a person who doesn't appreciate other people's time. The very areas that you're guilty of, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you opportunities in your daily life to see people doing exactly the same. You'll judge them, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will use your judgment for them to judge you. The question is, do we really want to have that sort of judgment? And the answer is, truly we do, because we recognize and appreciate, we understand, that the only way that we can really fulfill our purpose in this world is with the absolute clarity of what I'm doing, and who I'm doing it to, and how I'm behaving with the gifts that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me. And sadly, where there's lack of honesty, where there's lack of integrity, then it's nearly impossible for a person to ever consider to be able to do tshuva. So Kali Yisrael in Mitzrayim, and it's the beginning of their period of time in Golus. And you should realize that what Golus means is, as they say in Hebrew, they're not fair. It's not fair. They're beating me. They're hitting me. And I'm calling out with a groan and a moan. And it's a groan of pain. It's a groan of anguish. And here we are, still in Golus, and we should still be groaning with the pain and the anguish of it's not fair. But we also appreciate and understand that while we're in this situation, we're going to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're going to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want more than anything else to have that clarity of judgment, the Sanhedrin, the focus of Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people. We want to have those people to give us Eitzah, and therefore right now we recognize you've given us people to give us some Hadrocha, some directors in this confused world. I'll make sure that I will subservient myself to their greater wisdom. And when it comes to setting up law courts and wanting a just system, I won't just expect it from the world around me. I'll recognize and realize it's something I have to incorporate in myself. And of course, when it comes to judging other people, I'll think twice before I judge other people, knowing that that's exactly the way that I'm being judged. And yes, Hashem, that we should be zeicha not only to appreciate and understand what it is that tshuva is, but we should soon merit to see Shivada Beis Hamikdash from Hainu, who remain of the same Chol Kein B'Seres Deh.